Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom, your financial future, your ability to accumulate passive streams of income to replace your earned income at some point, if that's what you wish to do, or just to enhance your earnings, whichever it is you're more interested in doing. And it's interesting because I've been doing this for 35 years, and during that time, I just kept going and going and going. But the market goes up and goes down and goes up and goes down and goes up and goes down. And the bottom line is that people get all whacked out about the market. And I've never really worried about the market. I've always contended that I can make money when the market is up. I can make money when the market is down. It's just understanding how to advantage each of those situations. So let me give you a little insight in that. When interest rates were low, people were buying real estate 10 years ago, even more than that, like from 2008, there was a crash. And then after the crash, the market went up all the way until 2023. So there's, you know, whatever that is, 10, 15 years, the market went up. So people would buy real estate. They would own it, enjoy the benefits of real estate, the five different benefits. One is cash flow. One is mortgage pay down, mortgage reduction. One is appreciation. One is tax advantages. One of them is the ability to be able to reposition the property and capture equity and make large chunks of profit on the equity side of the deal. So for years, people were buying these properties, enjoying those benefits, but in the back of their mind, they were really eyeing the fact that the marketplace was going up rapidly. You could call it appreciation. Other people would call it inflation. Whatever you want to call it, that's what they were looking for. And interest rates kept ticking down. Now, what does that have to do with real estate? Well, every time an interest rate goes down, a person now can buy money less expensively, so you can afford to pay more for an asset because you're really paying the same amount. Whether you pay $1 million at 6% or you pay $1,000,001 at 5.5%, the bottom line is it's pretty much the same amount of payment on either of them. You could go up and pay $2 million if it goes down to 4% interest, and so on and so forth. And so people were driving the prices up as the interest rates went down because they wanted the real estate. They wanted the benefits derived from owning real estate. And they wanted it so bad they were willing to bid up the price, but only because the mortgage rates would allow it to happen. And they could get the financing still. So this went on for years and years and years. And during those years, the people who got into the business had never seen a downside, never seen a recession, never seen a point where their inability and inefficiencies to operate properties made any difference because the properties were just continuing to go up in value. And this went on for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, one day, out of nowhere. And really, that's not really what happened. Really, over about 2 or 3 year period of time, I started to notice that the interest rates had gotten so low, the prices had gotten so high that the deals didn't make sense anymore. You were paying so much for the property that the property just was over, you were overpaying. And then it was only a matter of time that this whole thing was going to come crashing down. You could see it. And the banks started seeing it. And so when we first started getting into this stuff, we could borrow 80% on any deal. Some deals we could get a 90% loan. The bank said, man, we love this stuff. We'll give you 80, 90% of the money. But it started getting to where they'd go, you know what? We don't like it that much. We don't want to take that much risk. The price is so high, we don't want that much risk. So we'll lend you 70% of the money. And people didn't think anything of that because they were raising capital through syndications. It wasn't their money they were putting down. And the bank just let them keep going. The prices went up and up and up. And then the bank goes, well, you know what? We're not even going to lend you 70% anymore. The price you're offering right now is so high that we're only going to be willing to lend you 65%. And people didn't even think anything of that. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. You guys have got to see what's going on. The banks are telling you something. They don't like the deals. I don't like the deals. I don't want to be involved, right? We need to pull back. This is crazy. These prices are ridiculous. But yet they kept going. Why? One, because they'd never seen a market turn around. I've lived through three recessions. Most of these people had never seen one. They had no belief that the market could actually go down. And they started coming up with these theories. Because the brokers are selling real estate. The mortgage brokers are selling loans. And everybody out there is in living big, living large. I mean, they're closing deals every day, big deals, giant deals. And so all of a sudden, the banks are saying, not only will we not lend you but 60% of the deal, we want you to buy insurance that the interest rates don't go back up, because the interest rates were down in the threes. And the average interest rate over the last 50 years is like 7.8%. Now they're down in the threes. And these are adjustable rate mortgages these guys were signing. Not fixed rate mortgages, which would be great. Give me a 3% loan fixed rate. But these were adjustable rate mortgages, because the bank said, there's no way these interest rates are going to stay this low. So they started making all the loans adjustable rate mortgages. They wouldn't make fixed rate loans at 3%. They'd make fixed rate loans at 4, 4.5, but not 3. But you could get 3 on an adjustable rate mortgage, which made the deal that made no sense at all actually pencil out to where you could get a loan on it. But the loans, even with the 3% interest, got thinner and thinner and thinner, because the prices got higher and higher and higher. And hence, at some point, what happened was that the interest rates turned around on them. We've all lived through it. All of a sudden, interest rates popped from 3% to 7.5%. Did two things. Number one, it made it impossible to make sense to buy a property, a piece of real estate. You couldn't buy it because it wasn't worth what they were selling it for. And with that kind of interest rate, you couldn't make the numbers work. You couldn't get a loan on it. So it just killed all commerce all at one time. This happened about 3 years ago. And then the people that owned the stuff that had paid too much for it couldn't sell it. And their adjustable rate mortgages started adjusting up on them. And the only way they could save themselves was to buy insurance against the adjustment. And these insurance loans, these insurances on these loans were astronomical. Started out $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, $500,000. I saw them over $1 million. Yeah, just to buy another year's worth of purchase down interest, keep your interest lower, cost you $1 million up front to do it. And it was wiping people out left and right. And all these deals started falling by the wayside. And so for the last 2 years now, people have been living under the shell of fear of, oh my gosh, you know, I had all this real estate and now it's worth half of what it was worth the day I bought it. Well, it was really worth half of what it was worth the day they bought it. It was worth that half then also. They just didn't see it. They were just the greater fool theory, got blasted into buying something and overpaying for it. I mean, it's just really what happened. And for those of us who knew what was going on, it didn't affect us. For those of us who didn't know what's going on, it killed us, right? So that has gone by. Now we've had 2 years of these bad deals shaking out, people losing, you know, 50 to 100% of their investment on these deals. And the marketplace is coming back to normal now, to where this, you know, the values that had doubled are back down to normal. There's about a 40% reduction in the cost of real estate in the investment real estate that we're buying. It's about a 40% reduction over the last 2 years from what we were paying for it then. And in some cases, as much as 50% when we're getting a good deal. So in other words, 40% is just bringing you back to normal. 50% meaning we're probably getting a good deal on it. And we're seeing this all the time. There's lots of deals going down now. So a guy writes me an email, and I'm not going to tell you the name. And I thought about reading the email, but it was one that was pretty long. And two, you could almost tell who the guy was just by the email. I think people at Lifestyles would know who he is just from the way the email was crafted and so forth and what it said and what deals he talked about. So I probably better not read this guy's email online. But here's what it basically said. It said, look, I've just gone through all this. You know, I'm emotionally destroyed after losing, you know, these deals, watching the market go against everything I bought and watching it, you know, go down in value and watching all these other people lose all this money, because I don't think this guy lost a lot of money. I think he was in one deal and it kind of went bad. But I think the rest of the deals he was in were okay. They survived, put it that way. They didn't thrive. And he says, you know, all this, you know, made me gun shy and everything. And now I see the markets turned around, and now I'm fearing that we're going to let this good market get by us. Now that the prices are down again, I think we should dive in, get excited and exuberant, and start attacking again. I mean, just very emotionally aggressive in this email to me about we should promote being aggressive again and get out there. And it was interesting. I read this and I'm, you know, thinking through and thinking, yeah, you know, one way or the other, it sounds a little overly aggressive. In other words, when the market was really bad, I was buying and picking up deals that were great deals because the prices were low. I was happy just moving along methodically, waiting for those deals to fall in my lap and go with it. And to go with my other customers as we were buying properties up, right? There were deals happening because people were losing these properties for prices that was 40% of what they paid for them just a year or two ago, right? So this guy's now saying, well, now that the market's normalized, we should just jump back in again. Go crazy. Interest rates are going down. Things are going to start going up. We got to get in front of the curve. All this brings us to this point, guys, is that all of this theology, both before and now this gentleman's theology, is speculation. We're going to make money or lose money because of the market. And see, I just don't see real estate that way. I see real estate as a opportunity to buy an investment that can make you money for the rest of your life if you do it right. And if you pay the right price and you understand how to operate this stuff, you produce streams of income that you can live off of forever. And maybe you get tired of one property, it gets old, you want to sell it and buy something newer because you want to just move your portfolio in a different direction to larger properties, to newer properties, to whatever. We do change out the core of our portfolios over time. Mine got newer and newer and newer, and my properties got larger and larger and larger till everything was, you know, over 100 units. Got rid of all the small stuff. But the bottom line is that I started, I purchased, I always purchased, I'd let something go, I'd purchase something else. Well, what's interesting, and I'm going to run a parallel here with this, hope I don't lose you on this, is that about the same time as I got this email from this gentleman, I found this YouTube article, and it was from a bodybuilder. And I used to be a bodybuilder, competitive bodybuilder. My daughter's a pro. Her husband's a pro bodybuilder. They're both pros. They both compete, get paid money if they win, that kind of stuff. And so this guy, this YouTube was from this pro bodybuilder, is saying five mistakes I've made along the way. And it was so interesting that I found this YouTube video this same day that I got this email from this guy. Because what it said was, Mistake number one. 1 year I felt that it was so hard to get in shape. I had bulked up a little too much. I was a little out of shape, a little fat. Came into competition season, and I had to diet really, really stringently to get into shape. And it made me skinny. I lost muscle. I didn't look good. And so I leaned out too much. And he showed pictures of himself. He said, so the next season I decided that what I was going to do is I was going to stay lean all year long. Never let my body puff back up again, fill out, and grow. Or he didn't know that, but he thought, well, maybe it will grow slower, but at least I'll stay solid and I won't have to diet down. And when I get ready to go to contests, I just, you know, just a slight amount of dieting and lean up. That's the way it works. And what he showed was, okay, after a year of that, I came back and I looked exactly the same. So if the analogy is, okay, during the time when we had bought too much, we had bulked up too much, we were too fat, we had properties we paid too much for, big, fat, overpriced properties that we're losing our butt on, you decided that, okay, I'm not going to do that and make that mistake again. And so what you did was you went lean. You bought nothing. And so a year goes by or 2 years go by, another season goes by, and you wake up a year later and you go, I have no more real estate, no more income than I had before. I have nothing. Right? Now, maybe I've gotten a little bit better condition than the one that was fat, and I've fought through it, but I'm no better off. So being ultra-conservative is not the solution to becoming wealthy. When we come back, I'm going to share the rest of the story. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
New to real estate investing? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how to get started with step-by-step education and real-world strategy. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I've been telling a story and paralleling it to another story, something that I try to do all the time to be able to show you how one set of information, one set of ideas can be paralleled into another set. And the one I'm trying to parallel today is the fact that the marketplace, the real estate marketplace went up, got super high, peaked out, crashed back down again, interest rates driven in most of that stuff. And yet I was talking, paralleling it to this bodybuilder guy saying, look, 1 year I didn't diet enough. So the next year I decided to diet all year, got to the end of the year and had nothing, and had grown not one bit. And so the concept here was is that, okay, he was way too conservative, and that's the same thing is true, is that people who come through this last 3 years don't have any more real estate because they've been way too conservative. The marketplace has been crashing down, but they're still fearful of the fact that they consumed too much fat real estate, back when the market was high. They overpaid for stuff they shouldn't have bought, fat real estate, fat in the fact that it wasn't lean and productive and profitable. And so they're fearful. So they just wanted to stay on a starvation diet. And now 3 years later, they're no further ahead than they were 3 years ago, whereas I've purchased a tremendous amount of real estate in the last 3 years. And I'm not saying that to tell you that I'm smart. I'm just telling you I've been through this stuff for 35 years. I see it when the market is high. I slow down when the market is low and problematic and challenging. That's when I speed up. It's just the opposite of what you would think. So then the guy goes, okay, as a bodybuilder, I screwed that up. Next year, I'm just going to eat everything I can eat. and I'm just going to get as big as I can possibly get, and then I'll worry about getting the fat off of that. But there's got to be some massive gains under it all. And so the guy just ate and ate and ate and grew and grew and grew and got huge and strong, big and strong. And then when it came time to get in shape for contests, he said he had to lose 50 pounds. And he showed after he dieted down and starved himself down for 50 pounds, he'd barely gained anything. And again, here's these people that bought all this real estate, overpaid, got their portfolio huge, bought a lot of different things very quickly, but overpaid because the market's willing to sell it to you if you're willing to buy it. And then, boom, now you're fat, you're obese, you're out of shape as far as your portfolio goes. It's unfunctional. It is not putting out profits. It's you paid way too much for it. Your overhead is way too high. Your mortgage payment's way too large. And it's killing you. Just like being fat and overweight, you know, bodybuilder, those guys die. They weigh too much. And it's killing you. And so the guy went from lean to overeating, to oversizing, to growing too quickly. The same thing with people's portfolios. They flip back and forth. And this guy sent me this email, this long email explaining that now's the time to get excited again, to get back out there and jump in and get aggressive. And the answer is no. Now is the time to keep buying. Effectively, there are deals out there. But if you start getting aggressive and chasing stuff, then the sellers are going to see that and they're going to put the prices right back up there. And you're going to overpay again. And that's what this guy was contending, that we should be out there overpaying again, be in front of the curve, buying everything before everybody else gets out there and buys it. But that just means you're going to be out there in front of the curve paying too much. Every time you win a bid that way, you're overpaying. Instead of winning a bid because no one else came to the table or because they didn't have the money or the insight to see how something could be fixed, that's a different kind of win in real estate. So hence, here you go. This guy just wants to get fat again. And he's already gone through the cycle of bloat, then getting starvation skinny, and then bloat. And in real estate, it's buy, 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 get killed, lose your money. You think about it. It's not how much real estate you can buy. It's how much money you make by buying that real estate. It's how much cash flow you produce by buying that real estate. Now, one of the problems you have to watch out for when you hear these stories is it's not people buying their own real estate that's problematic. Although we do see that. I've seen people from, you know, different parts of the country come and buy stuff. They have no idea how to operate, no idea what it's worth, and overpay. Because if you come out of the eastern states like New York, you come out of the western states like California, and you come to the Midwest states, our prices are so much lower than what their prices are in real estate that they think they're getting a deal. Even when they're paying double what they should be paying, they think they're getting a deal because in their states it costs way more. And so they come here and they overpay and get destroyed. See it happen all the time, right? So what we have to do is we have to keep a level head and make good real estate decisions throughout every season and continue to grow your portfolio. I've been doing it for 35 years. Every year I add a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Now, I'm at the point where I make a lot of money from real estate. And you'd all like to be where I'm at. And you'd like to be there in a day, in a week. I could just go in there and jump and get it all done. No. You go and buy that much that fast to get where I'm at, you're going to have some problems. It took me years to develop this kind of a portfolio. Solid, rock solid portfolio that just kicks out money left and right. I'm more proud of how much money my portfolio kicks out to me every month than I am how much real estate I own in my portfolio. More is not better. Better is better in real estate investing. You've got to buy the stuff that makes a lot of money. You've got to operate it to make a lot of money. You don't buy it as a speculative investment. Because then it's no different than the stock market. You're buying and hoping, buying and wishing, buying and praying that there's a greater fool, somebody out there that's dumber than you are, that's willing to come back and, you know, pay you more money than you paid for something you did nothing make worth more money. Happens all the time. Very common situation out there. Now, I'm getting ready to go on a trip here. Let's see. I guess tonight I'll be leaving out to go to a seminar that Markets and Millichap, one of the largest real estate brokerage firms in the country, has their summit going on. I guess it's their Texas summit, Texas multifamily summit. And I'm going to be a speaker there, keynote speaker there, and I'm going to, you know, discuss this. They're going to want to know, hey, it's time, right? Isn't it time to go and get aggressive and buy everything again? They're going to want to say that. I know they are. And I'm going to have to discuss with them the concept of buying right instead of buying more. But it's hard when these syndicators know that every time they buy another deal, they make more fees. Unlike the people who invest in the deal with them who don't make any more profit because there is no profit, the syndicators that put these deals together are getting paid fees to do it. So they are all excited about the fact they can start putting these deals together again and start making fees. And so it's going to be a difficult crowd to talk to because they live for these fees, right? That's their thing. But you as a buyer, you're putting your money up. You're either putting it up to buy for yourself or you're putting your money up to get into a deal with somebody else as a syndicating some other deal. You need to be careful that the deal makes money, not just for the syndicator, but for you. And that's really hard to do because they're going to tell you you're going to make your money on the upside, that it's going to be a gambling situation, speculative, and that the market's in the right direction right now. Interest rates on the way down, which I believe they are, which means that if interest rates go down, typically people will be able to pay more for real estate, and typically they will pay more for real estate if the interest rates keep going down. In other words, the greater fool. There's going to be idiots out there that are going to overpay. The question is, are you going to be one of those idiots? That's what it really comes down to. You have to ask yourself that question. Do you want to be one of those greater fools based on the greater fool theory? I never have wanted to be, and as of 35 years of doing this, I never have been. But on the other hand, you can fail on the other side. All right, let's move on. In this last segment here, I want to talk about another problem that I run into trying to help people, and that is they elicit help or they try to find help way too late in the process. There's an old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. The problem is the teacher appears and says, guys, you've screwed up what you've done so far so much that there's really not much I can do to help you. What do I mean by that? You only have so many resources to work with. You have a limited set of resources, which is the equity in your home, your 401k, your savings accounts, your liquid cash, whatever you can sell to get money. But whatever it is, you are starting out with a limited amount of resources. And the problem is that the mistakes that beginners make are so drastic that it's almost impossible to come back from them. What are the types of mistakes people make? Number one, they buy the wrong real estate. I don't know how many times I've told people over the radio for 35 years, do not buy condos. Please, I beg you, do not buy condos. And yet, when people contact me, it's like, hey, I bought these condos. Can you help me figure this out? Where can I go from here? You can't go anywhere. You've got something that nobody wants, that is overpriced, that has an association fee that's going to kick you in the doodah, and you're going to find that most of these condominiums are in places that are either like, I would say like Florida, California, maybe Colorado. They're in places where the land is so expensive that you can't afford to own real estate there. And so the only way you can buy real estate there is to buy a condo. Well, a condo is not a house. It's not an apartment. The only thing you own when you own a condo is airspace. You own the inside of those walls. You don't own the walls even. You can't do anything to change the building. You can't change the outside of the building, the inside of the building. You can't control the insurance costs. I mean, you're seeing people now in Florida give their condos away. Why? Because the insurance is outrageous. Because the homeowners association fee is outrageous. Because some of the reconstruction costs are outrageous, which means your associations are hitting you with a fee, what's it called, a massive assessment, special assessment. Man, and you can't even control what you do with your condo. They can tell you what you can do, who you can rent it to or not rent it to. They have total control over you. You do not own that condo. You own air inside of a room that they tell you you can do what they tell you you can do with. Do not do it. But yet people come to me and go, well, what do I do now? I've got these condos. Go, I'd like, you know, you can't do anything. Nobody wants them. You're not going to be able to sell them for a profit. And if you do, it's because you found another person that's greater fool than you are. And okay, if you do, sell them. Get out of them, right? They're a bad investment. But that's just one. There's many other things. They buy stuff that makes no sense at all. Weird combinations of buildings in strange places that make no sense at all. Overpriced areas. Just strange arrangements of real estate, like a house with a garage and a garage apartment and another unit tied to it. Okay. All that stuff out there is there. You can run into it. Maybe it works once, maybe it doesn't. But it is no way that you can continue to grow that portfolio. The model, the other thing that they do is they get the financing wrong. And you put down very large amounts of money, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 down on a house. It's ridiculous. We're looking to put $10,000, $15,000 down on a house. You know, 20 is a lot for us. And we're buying houses, not condos. Just if you go out there and you've only got $80,000 and you put $80,000 in one house or one condo, you're broke. It's over. Done. Go home. You can't do anymore. On the other hand, if you can put $20,000 in each of four houses, you've done four times as much real estate. You have four times as much assets, four times as much cash flow. You just don't know how to do it. And that's fine. I don't expect you to know how to do it. But what I expect is if you have any common sense at all, you'll contact me. You'll contact our program before you go buying stuff. If you're going to get into this business, please come to us before you mess up your financial situation. Right? Now, some of you, it's too late. At least come in then and see what you should have done so you can start cleaning up your portfolio and moving it the right direction. Maybe you still have some money to work with. We can help you do some good stuff with what you got. But man, everybody else, if you're thinking about starting this, don't just go out there and go, well, you know, I can hack my way through it. You know, I'm a pretty smart guy, I'm pretty smart girl. I can figure this stuff out. And when you do that, you're leaving all kinds of profit on the table because you don't know what you're doing. And it's just not worth it. What is the cost of education compared to the cost of losing money or of not getting good deals, of not getting the right financing? The cost of education is astronomical. Or you can just pay for education. One of the two. Everything I set out to do in life, I go find the smartest people in the world at it, go right to them for as much information as possible. And then if it's possible to be able to hire them to train me or to teach me or to help me, take me by the hand, that's where I go. I'll first go look at the free stuff. Go look at our free stuff. But in the long run, I want the smartest people in the world leading me at everything I do. I hope you see it the same way. Remember, money is just one thing. It's more than just money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you later.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.